Hello and welcome. If you care about moving the needle for Australian biodiversity at scale, this is for you. After 6 intense months across Queensland's reef catchments, the NT savannas, inland NSWS, and WA's rangelands, here's the headline. The right mix of tools beats any single silver bullet, every time. I didn't want theory. I tested real projects, real budgets, real timelines, real outcomes, put in regulation, markets, indigenous-led governance, and blended finance head-to-head with consistent criteria. The big surprise? Success showed up when we layered approaches, not when we overinvested in one. This is happening as climate impacts accelerate, development pressure rises, and expectations around indigenous rights and corporate accountability shift. At the same time, policy, tech, and finance are converging. We're not tinkering anymore. We're rewiring conservation at scale. Here's the board. 4 dominant approaches in Australia. 1, regulation and protected areas. The EPBC Act, state land clearing laws, planning approvals, the National Reserve System. It's the Stop the Harm Foundation, your non-negotiable floor. Post-Samuel reforms are clarifying standards and enforcement. Clear rules create certainty, and certainty is power. 2, market-based instruments, biodiversity offsets, and the NSWS Biodiversity Credit Scheme, reef credits. ACCUs with nature co-benefits and the emerging nature repair market. They pay for outcomes at landscape scale and leverage private capital with better methods to quantify condition change, permanence, and co-benefits. When conservation pays, landholders' economics flip. 3, indigenous-led conservation. Indigenous protected areas, rangers, joint management, cultural burning. This is long-term stewardship with cultural authority. Over 75 million hectares are indigenous managed, integrating cultural, ecological, and economic outcomes. 4, blended finance and NGO-led private conservation, philanthropy, impact investment, revolving funds, covenants via Trust for Nature and the NSWS BCT, acquisitions by AWC and Bush Heritage. Think conservation bonds, PES contracts, biodiversity-linked loans, de-risking innovation and sustaining efforts. I assessed 40-plus projects, 2019 to 2025. Across states and basins using consistent metrics, cost per hectare, expected biodiversity gain, condition times area times permanence, time from concept to contract, leverage of public-private capital, integrity and additionality, and social outcomes. I did field visits, sat with traditional owners leading fire programs across millions of hectares, observed credit transactions, and unpacked acquisition finance. I benchmarked against IUCN categories, EPBC offset policy, NSWBAM, post-Chubb ACCU integrity reforms, and emerging TNFD-SBTN guidance. Yes, ecological change takes decades, and transparency varies, but directional performance and clear decisions are possible without false precision. What actually predicts scale? 6 criteria separated lasting impact from short-term wins. 1, scale and permanence. Impact is what endures. Legal anchors, covenants, protected status, long-term agreements matter. Cultural anchors matter. Strong indigenous governance that persists beyond grants. Regulation excels at hard limits. Indigenous-led models anchor stewardship over generations. Markets can scale fast, but without permanence, gains backslide. 2, cost-effectiveness and leverage. It's not just cost, it's what each dollar mobilizes. Markets crowd in private capital. Blended finance turns philanthropy into larger deals. Regulation prevents harm cheaply, but rarely attracts private money. Indigenous-led approaches deliver outsized value, biodiversity, culture, jobs, knowledge, but remain underfunded relative to scale. 3, speed and transaction friction. Time kills deals. In fast-moving regions, getting from concept to contract quickly is crucial. Markets and NGOs often move faster, especially on acquisitions and covenants. Regulation can be slow, but clear, consistent standards speed approvals and compliance. Cut paperwork that doesn't drive ecological gain. Keep integrity strong. 4. Integrity and additionality. Outcomes must be real, measurable, and beyond business as usual. Post-Chubb reforms improved ACCU integrity, but credibility still lives or dies on baselines, leakage controls, and independent verification. Regulation sets the rules. Indigenous governance embeds accountability in country. Blended finance can fund monitoring and audits. 5. Social license and co-benefits. Ignore community priorities and project stall. Elevate Indigenous leadership. Deliver local jobs. Respect cultural authority. Unlock access, trust, and long-term care. Rangers and joint management outperform here. Markets build license when benefits reach landholders and communities, not just intermediaries. NGOs fund training, infrastructure, and governance that markets and regulation miss. 6. Monitoring and adaptive management. If you can't measure it, you can't manage it or get paid. The best projects learn and improve. Remote sensing, AI, and tiered frameworks make it cheaper to track change across vast areas. If you're designing now, invest in monitoring from day one. So, how do these play together? Simple. Regulation sets the floor, prevents harm, and creates certainty. Markets pay for uplift, make conservation financially competitive. Indigenous-led governance anchors stewardship in place and time. Blended finance de-risks innovation, fills gaps, sustains operations. Layer them, and you get durability, speed, and scale. On the ground, reef catchments, clear land use rules, plus water quality markets, plus grants for practice change, equals fast moves that hold. Savannas, Indigenous-led fire management, long-term agreements, plus outcome payments, equals reduced risk and biodiversity benefits across millions of hectares. Inland Nusabe, biodiversity credits plus covenants plus NGO stewardship equals locked-in gains and predictable costs. Rangelands, acquisitions plus covenants plus impact capital plus public co-funding equals landscape-scale transformation, with monitoring tech keeping transaction costs down. If you've got $1 to spend or one lever to pull, prioritize like this. 1. Choose your anchor, permanence or speed. If permanence is the gap, lead with regulation, covenants, Indigenous-led governance. It's speed and leverage. Start with markets and blended finance, but bake in permanence early. 2. Stress test integrity, baselines, additionality, verification, and long-term management funding must be real. 3. Invest in capability. Indigenous rangers, local landholder networks, and monitoring systems aren't overhead. They're the engine. 4. Keep rules clear. Ambiguous standards slow everything and erode trust. 5. Use public money to crowd in private money, not replace it. A quick note on limits. Ecological change doesn't follow budget cycles, and some indicators are hard to measure at scale. That's okay. Design for directional accuracy, not false precision. Focus on condition, area, and permanence. Use AI and remote sensing to extend your reach. Ground truth with local knowledge. Where does that leave us in 2025? In a new conservation era, where the tools finally match the scale of the challenge. The lesson from the field is clear. Stack your approaches. Set a strong regulatory floor. Pay for outcomes at scale. Anchor everything in Indigenous-led governance. Use blended finance to bridge timing, risk, and capacity gaps. Do that, and you get durability, legitimacy, and velocity together. If you want to dig deeper into monitoring that matters, look up proven Australian methods and AI remote sensing guides. And if fire is central to your landscape, the cultural burning guide is essential. My call to you is simple. Pick a landscape. Pick a stack. Keep standards clear, integrity high, and monitoring smart. Fund the people who steward country and use finance to reward outcomes that last. We don't need a silver bullet. We need a well-built toolkit used together with purpose. Thanks for listening. Let's get to work.